From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Ford instant analysis. Ole Miss loses to Auburn 44-23 on the plane Saturday morning. Neil McCready joining me from somewhere in between Auburn and Montgomery, I guess. I am in the mobile Clark Ford studio back in Oxford as we discuss this game. Ole Miss falls to 2-3, three straight losses. Cal, Alabama, and Auburn. Second time in a row they've been down huge at halftime. Played better in the second half. Auburn clearly trying to get out of Jordan-Hare Stadium healthy and moving on to their next week. But that's what this thing is, 44-23, and next week for the Rebels. Vanderbilt at 2:30, a flawed football team coming to Oxford that, frankly, not a great matchup, but overly winnable for Ole Miss. But we'll focus on this first, Neil. A couple different ways you could look at it from a Pollyanna standpoint, but Auburn up the way they were at halftime. The thing was decided probably somewhere around noon, and again, Ole Miss just couldn't score or get stops early to make it much of a game.
Yeah, look, Auburn scored touchdowns on its first five offensive possessions. Ole Miss got a field goal in that period. 35-3, I think, was the halftime score. Auburn came out on its seventh possession of the game. Their sixth possession of the game ended with a punt. It's about a minute to go. Their seventh possession, they got a huge kickoff return, went three and out, kicked a field goal, up 38-3. And then at that point, you know, if you want to start not even spinning, if you want to start to try to find some positives, okay, you can, but you have to do it with a real filter here. I mean, Auburn, Ole Miss got a touchdown, made it 38-10. Auburn at some point, if I recall correctly, added a couple of field goals.
44.
And then Ole Miss played pretty well in the fourth quarter. Ole Miss was trying to score and do things. Auburn, as you said, we're getting second and third unit guys in, getting guys some snaps, some experience, getting starters off the field, keeping people healthy. Let's face it, the game was won. Gus Malzahn and his staff knew the game was won. The only way there was going to be a negative for Auburn in that game was to lose a key contributor. And, I can't remember when it happened, but one of their linemen went down, Mike Horton. And I don't know how serious it was, but when he went down, I thought they kind of said, hey, there's probably the warning sign. Let's shut this thing down. And Auburn went super conservative. Give Ole Miss credit. They played hard. They haven't quit. They scored some points. They, depending on what you had the line at, they might have even covered the line for you. They pushed it on our line. But that's about the extent of how far I'm willing to go with positive. There was a lot of talk after the game, Chase, about they challenged them at halftime. They said, hey, last week in Tuscaloosa, we were in this spot at halftime and we didn't respond. This time, let's get out, and even if we're not winning a game, let's respond. Let's build on that. And if you want to say that they responded, I'm with you. If you want to say that maybe they put some positives together, there. When that game was being decided, Auburn absolutely dominated Ole Miss.
You know, for Ole Miss, they've got the wins over UT Martin and South Alabama. Kids are smart. Kids aren't stupid. They understand the score and how this works on both sides. It's a team that is just searching for any kind of confidence, period, because you look at league games, and look, most of these guys were playing last year as the end of the 2016 season was not going well. Since Shea Patterson got carried off the field in College Station, Ole Miss has lost four straight conference games by at least 21 points. That's the most in the SEC since at least 2004 from a margin of victory and length standpoint. So we're talking about something that's been unprecedented for 15 years almost in the league that this team is dealing with. They can't seem to get through first halves. It's 2 weeks in a row that the opposing team has had at least 330 yards of offense in the first half. They at one point they allowed at least 30 points in three straight halves, so the first team this year to allow that to happen nationally as well. Where it comes for, I mean, I listened to Shea Patterson after the game, and he talks about finding something, at least something positive there in the second half and different things. It's because it's such a low level of what might be seen as a positive right now, because you look at just SEC play, since College Station, nothing has even been competitive for this team.
No, not at all. Like you said, the Vanderbilt game was a blowout. The Mississippi State game was a blowout. Alabama, Auburn were blowouts. I led my column with, it was ugly. It's predictable, but it was ugly. And it was. It was predictable, and it was ugly. And it was predictably ugly. So now you head in, it's so funny. We said before the season, all off season, they're going to win the first two games. There's two swing games, Cal, Vanderbilt. We said they're not going to win at Alabama, and they weren't. We said they're not going to win at Auburn, and they weren't. And so they lost at Cal, which is the first negative swing. So now Vanderbilt is coming up, and if this team – and we can get into the discussion about does it matter in a minute, and I have different opinions on this. But if this team's going to have a chance in the second half of the season to feel good about itself, to build on anything, to have anything resembling momentum – Saturday against Vanderbilt is now officially a must win. If Ole Miss is 2-4 after Vanderbilt, there's no salvaging this. There's absolutely no even thought of salvaging this. On the flip side, if Ole Miss beats Vanderbilt, you at least make the LSU game interesting.
Sure.
As we record this, I think LSU's ahead of Florida 7-0. You have a TV in front of you. I don't. You at least make it a talking topic around town. If you lose to Vanderbilt, the conversation is going to leave this team, and it's going to leave this team for good. I think that's why there was such a concerted effort among everyone who spoke to say, hey, we did some good things in the second half. We're leaving here, leaving Auburn with a better taste in our mouths than we left Tuscaloosa. And this is something that we have to build on. Now, doing it is a completely different story. Going and lining up against Vanderbilt when the score is 0-0 and taking them on is going to be a different story, because I can assure you in Nashville, Vanderbilt is saying, okay, we went to the swamp, played them well.
Well, got beat by Alabama, then went to the swamp.
Yeah, got beat by Alabama, and then Derek Mason's telling his guys, hey, Alabama's kicking everybody's ass. So they got us. Then we went to the swamp, and we played okay. We played okay. We had a chance. Didn't get it done. And now we just played a top five team, and we got it handed to us again. This game in Oxford, we're going to play somebody that we can beat, guys. Let's go get them. If we're going to do something, we got to have this one.
Yeah, Derek Mason is looking at this schedule and going, okay, we're going to Oxford. Then we're going to go to Columbia, South Carolina. We can get them, and then we got Western Kentucky. Let's string something together here. Let's get to five wins, or actually, I take that back, six wins. They can get to bowl eligible in the next 3 weeks.
He's looking at this stretch and saying, we can get some momentum heading into November. And kind of what Matt Luke is thinking right now is if Ole Miss could beat, he's saying to his guys, hey, if we can get this one, we always play LSU pretty well. Maybe we can get that one. Arkansas's not world beaters. And then they have momentum going into November, and they're playing for each other and playing for something and all of that. So it's a huge game in a weird way for both teams, because the loser is going to have a really difficult time convincing itself that there's much left to play for. And the winner is going to at least wake up on October the 14th or 15th or whatever that is and say, well, we, We have a pulse.
We'll talk about Vanderbilt all week long leading in. You know, for Ole Miss, it's just it's a strange matchup. Vanderbilt can be okay defensively depending on the day. Offensively, they don't do a lot, but they kind of run the ball. They at least try to be physical, something that Ole Miss still has not stopped. I mean, look at today, Auburn ran for over 300 yards. Jarrett Stidham only threw for 235, but they just dominated the game on the ground. I think Pettway had 204 on 28 carries. They've got to stop the run. They've got to stop Raph Webb. They've got to make tackles. They got to get their eyes in the right place. And beyond the eyes, you know, that's kind of the catchphrase. And I'm going to go ahead and say it this way, because what I believe, I think they say the eyes are in the wrong place, but I don't. The players aren't stupid. The players' eyes are in the wrong place because they're having a hard time physically getting to the spot from a speed standpoint, which makes your eyes in the wrong place. And I don't know how, you know, there's no way to fix that. You're not suddenly going to become 2-3 steps faster or whatever it is. So that is going to be the challenge. Is, look, Schoenberg can throw the ball a little bit when that play action has to be respected and different things. But for this, it's all going to be between the tackles, inside zone, outside zone, and it's going to be about stopping Raph Webb at the point of impact, and that's going to decide the football game.
That's going to decide the football game. And then here's the other stat that sticks out to me, and I don't remember where this was. I want to say it was late second quarter. It might even be a halftime stat, and I don't have a book in front of me as I drive, but Ole Miss at one point had 13 carries for 15 yards. That won't work, Chase. It doesn't work like that. That's not anything resembling winning football, and that won't be winning football against Vanderbilt either. They're running the ball late in games against soft defenses that are playing the, hey, let's just not give up the big play. No one's being aggressive. Auburn wasn't being aggressive schematically on defense in the second half. They were just getting through the game. Well, Vanderbilt's going to be aggressive schematically. Vanderbilt is going to try to take away the run and get Ole Miss into third and long. And people have begun to figure out Shea Patterson wants to bail on the pocket a little bit. He wants to go to his right. Teams are trying to take that away from him with a pretty good degree of success. Whether Vanderbilt has the athletes to do it, I don't know. It remains to be seen. But that's the plan for people. So can Ole Miss do in the first half what it did in the fourth quarter? I don't know. Can you run the football? If you can't run the football and you can't stop the run, this is that cliche that we've said 1,000 times, right? If you can't run the football and you can't stop the run, your margin for error is razor thin. It is just paper thin. And that's Ole Miss's problem right now. It can't run the ball. It can't stop the run consistently. And it's given up big plays
not being smart. I mean, you pointed to it earlier. I mean, Auburn has 3rd and 8, back-to-back offsides. You've got the huge catch and run by Davis early in the game. It was an undisciplined game from Ole Miss where Auburn played really well. They were the better team, but Ole Miss was the one also giving charity throughout the first three quarters.
Yeah, that's 3 weeks removed from 16 penalties at Cal. So what is their identity? I mean, I just got a text from a national writer that said that team is really bad. There's going to be a lot. I think this is going to be a little contentious week. I really do. I think this is the week that there's going to be a little pushback inside the program against maybe some of the people who cover it. Why aren't you guys talking about what we did in the fourth quarter? Why aren't you guys talking about the momentum that we built in the second half at Auburn? And I think it's because the people who cover the team saw the first half and started writing. And frankly, that's just the way it works. And I think there's going to be a little pushback, and this is going to be a week where there's a little edge to them, whether it's real or not. I don't know. Is it manufactured? I don't know. Does it carry over onto the field when the score is 0-0? That's the question. Derek Mason's going to have a good plan. He had a really good plan for Shea Patterson last year. He's going to have a good plan for Shea Patterson this year. And if Ole Miss can run the football effectively with Jordan Wilkins and Devon Penniman, in the first half of the game against Vanderbilt and get into some third and twos, some third and threes. Those are convertible. Shea Patterson becomes dangerous at that point. Shea Patterson on third and 10, third and 11 is like any other quarterback, kind of a sitting duck.
Yeah, of course. So pretty much covers it. Again, 44-23, still a three-touchdown loss for the Rebels, and they scored a good bit in the second half, broke the scoring drought. That officially ended 136 minutes, 55 seconds for that. I went back and looked, Neil. That 2011 team went at one point 11 quarters without a touchdown. So nowhere near the 11-nut team. But anyway, DK Metcalf with a couple touchdowns today. Shea Patterson did go for over 300 yards, I'm pretty sure, even though I don't have the book in front of me. But either way, that's where it is. 44-23, Auburn over Ole Miss. The Rebels head back home. Vanderbilt 230 next week. Both teams kind of licking their wounds. One will leave Vaught Hemingway with a win and at least the thought of momentum as the calendar moves deeper into October. So for Neil McCready, for Chase Parham, this is the Clark Ford Instant Analysis.